B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family. The only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as how the Falcons treated Matt Ryan.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes.
I'm the California Cajun. With me as always is Lil Dice. And joining us again to reclaim his throne as the Beer Run's best guest host, the B-Train.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, fellas?
What's up? What's up, man? So, you know how we do it on the Beer Run, man. We got four downs, and we're going to talk about some beer. We're going to talk about some Saints. In particular, we're going to look at free agency because, you know, we got some cap space. So let's see what we're going to do. We brought James back and everything. He needs some weapons. So who's out there for him? Then we're going to talk about March Madness. You know, I want to know, you know, what you guys do during March Madness, you know? And we'll wrap it up with some things we put on Twitter. We have something, a post we found talking about Urban Meyer. And we also have a video of Coach O about to take somebody's head off. So we're going to get into all of that, man. So let's get these refs out here and spot the ball. Let's go.
First down. Saints.
All right. So what we drinking today?
All right. So I know this is not technically a local brew. This is down the road a little bit from me. This is in Houston, just over the border. But this is a St. Arnold. And this is their Blissfully Hoppy Harmony Hazy IPA. I want you to know, I only bought a couple of these. Mm-hmm. And the self-restraint to keep one for the show has been killing me all day. This is a fantastic beer. I was shocked. It is so good. Let's see, does it sound as good as it tastes?
Yeah. Ooh, oh, man.
Yeah, nice. It does.
That's a hell of a pop there, bro.
Yeah, this is good, man. This is a good beer. I had never tried St. Arnold until real recently, but it's 6% ABV, 30 on your IBUs for anyone who's a little hoppy and looking at that kind of thing. Okay. Man, it's very fruity. It's very light. And I am going to drink 12 of them the next time I go to the store.
Nice.
All right. So I still have some more of these Little Red Strawberry Lagers from Diamond Beer. I'm about to finish these things off.
You know, we're going to have to get you some new beers so we can talk about new stuff every week. People won't stop listening because they want to hear the new beer stuff. Some of our four listeners are going to take issue.
Let me know if you tune in to hear what beer I'm drinking, okay? Like, if that is the number
they want to know what beer you're drinking and what kind of fruit is in it.
All right, B-Train, what you got, man?
So I'm also keeping it super local if you're from St. Louis, Missouri, because I have a Bud Light Seltzer hard soda. So.
If you're listening to this, please send help. I need people to drink beer with. And apparently, I don't have any on this show.
Come on.
Yeah, no, but I am drinking the orange flavored hard soda. Huge, nice. Huge fan of this line. Okay. But,
it's more like up? Soda?
Yeah. I don't even think it's caffeinated, though, but it does taste like soda. Okay. It is kind of a weird naming convention, right? Bud Light, Seltzer, hard soda. You know, it's really none of those things. So
I just want to get you lost somewhere along the line. I will say of those whole like seltzer lines, I do like the Budweiser, Bud Light ones, whatever. Those are the preferable over, I don't know, what else is there? White Claws and
White Claw and stuff like that. Yeah, I really gotta give it a try, man. I've been kind of afraid of the seltzer part of it, you know, just thinking it would be just mildly flavored water with bubbles.
Well, looking at my waistline, I should probably try the seltzers a little bit more often.
No, but yeah, I like the Not Your Dad's root beer.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
not
those bad. Are good. Yeah, you know, that one I think tastes a little more like beer than anything. But these probably do taste. This does taste like soda. I mean, it does. Okay. So I mean, it's just it's nice. It's light. It's basically alcoholic soda. Right. you know, I'm a fan of it. You know, maybe I'll get my beer card taken away, but I'm excited about the what's it called? The Hard Mountain Dew coming out soon too, especially that Baja Blast.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to stop right there. There's a Hard Mountain Dew coming out.
Oh yeah, it's a thing. It actually already came out. I think they released it in a few states, and pretty soon it'll be nationwide. So I'm just gonna go hard in the paint on them Baja Blasts. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Okay, Louisiana is the booziest state in the union. If we're not on that list of getting that soda, drink, alcohol thing, then I'm going to riot somewhere, because that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they're doing it wrong.
That is factually correct.
What is it like? I think as far as like NFL fandoms go, like Saints fans routinely rank pretty high up there in terms of alcohol consumption.
Well, for a while, it was necessary to watch our games.
Yeah, true.
Well, I know that's true for sure for LSU fans. Like, they will buy out a bar. And that's insane.
And ever since moving down to Louisiana, I have never seen a more passionate group of people about anything than some of these backwoods Cajuns and their LSU Tigers. It is nuts.
Yeah, just a reminder, there are other schools in the state, by the way.
No, I don't think there are. I don't think UL Lafayette or Tulane, none of them actually exist. It is LSU and then what, Texas? I don't think there's anything else to do.
Pretty much, I guess.
Second down.
All right, let's get into some Saints talk. And, you know, we dropped a Beer Chaser episode, you know, yesterday to let you know our thoughts on Jameis. But B-Train, we hadn't gotten your thoughts on the Jameis signing, so let us know what you think about it.
Oh, man. So, you know, I found out the news because there was that breaking news. There was the Beer Chaser podcast.
Yeah,
and that's how I found out about it. So thankfully, you guys were on top of it.
Good thing you're subscribed to our Patreon and sent us $5 a month so you could hear our breaking news podcast.
That's right. It got pushed to my feed directly because I'm a subscriber. I'm an elite subscriber.
It's an expensive ticket, but I'm glad you shelled out for that as those breaking news pods.
Yeah. Look, all I got to say about that is Saints finally got their guy. They got their guy. So, I mean, look, I think with, you know, all things considered, like with the Deshaun thing, like, you know, there was just so much hype about that. And honestly, in my opinion, I think this played out as well as we could have hoped. I mean, before Jameis went down last year, he was really slinging it. He's got the continuity with the team, which, you know, for those of us that hate change, you know, unfortunately that already happened with Sean Payton leaving, but hey, we got as much continuity as we can have in the building now. And, keeping Jameis is, that was as good as it's going to get. And that was a good contract. So I'm just looking forward to see what wide receivers we can bring in. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. So.
Yeah. I know the change people, they really hate this. You know, the people who just want change for change sake, you know.
I feel attacked.
But hey, speaking of change, we do need some different bodies in his wide receiver room to help Jameis out, give him some options. And, you know, when I go to like the free agency tracker, like the first person that jumps out is Julio Jones at age 33. Disgusting. With his horrible hamstrings, you know, so he's always leading the boards there. So,
look, if I wanted a receiver that couldn't score touchdowns, I would re-sign Tre'Quan Smith.
I mean, that's an option too.
Look, we added a big name wide receiver to Jameis Winston's arsenal. We added Michael Thomas because he didn't have him for any of those games last year.
We did. And speaking of something,
we've had our big splash free agency and we didn't actually have to sign anybody.
Yeah. But speaking of Michael Thomas, he was tweeting out a lot more stuff. He looks like he's on board with the Jameis signing, you know, with his Twitter posts. And so, yeah, that's a big positive direction there, you know, getting that thumbs up from Mike.
I think we talked about this in the Beer Chaser. Anyone who doesn't know, Beer Chaser is our instant reaction show. We'll put that out with big news or big events or when we're bored and have nothing else to do. But when you got your new quarterback coming in, your team is going to say that they're happy about that. You don't want somebody tweeting out, oh, darn, I wish we got Deshaun Watson. Nobody's going to do that. It's not going to be up to the coaching staff.
But, hey, still out here, man, you have Jarvis Landry, Cole Beasley, T.Y. Hilton. I mean,
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Odell Beckham yet.
I was going to say, man, LSU, the only school in Louisiana.
The only Louisiana school.
About him going back to the Rams, so.
That was messed up. That was he did us dirty with that. He said it was the – he said New Orleans was the right place at the wrong time. So, I don't know. Hey, Odell, is it the right time now?
I don't even want him anymore.
Yeah. Get out of here.
That's a lie. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Who wants to play with Jameis?
Hey, you know who said he wanted to play with him last year? Actually, just a couple months ago. Antonio Brown on his Instagram after his his graceful exit from the Buccaneers said, I want to play with Jameis.
Right.
And at this point, man, after everything we just went through with the Deshaun Watson thing, screw it, man. Bring him in. Bring him in. I don't even care.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
As I bury my face in my hands.
Yes. I love that.
Look, if we were to sign Antonio Brown, I would be the first one on here waving some pom-poms, all excited. Look at this generational talent. He just finally needed the right system, the right structure.
Would you take your shirt off and hold up a sign?
I do that. I live next to the highway. I just, you know, whatever I'm feeling this particular day. I can't, man. Now understand, for anyone who's listening and doesn't know, we're joking about Antonio Brown. There is no smoke about that. No one is talking about him. The Saints have not been implicated with him at all. The rumor started with us. We are lying to you, and do not listen to us, and also don't send us any money.
Wait, you're lying? I thought the source said that it was imminent. The signing was imminent.
Where would you ever? Oh, was that one of my co-hosts over here lying to his fan base?
The source is confirmed.
I'm not going to out my source.
The source is confirmed that it might be happening.
It could happen as soon as this offseason.
Yes.
I would talk myself into it if it happened, but until it happens, keep him away from my team, please.
I'd be so excited if they signed him that I would walk out of work the same way he did.
That's a hell of a way to quit, I tell you.
You know, but looking at the free agent receivers that are available, they're all older. They're all, you know, some of them are big names, but they're all on the decline. I think second or third round is a wide receiver for us in the draft. I don't think that we're going to sign one of these guys. If we sign a free agent wide receiver, I think it's going to be one of those bargain bin guys you've never heard of.
Well, at this point, I mean, there isn't going to be any big money coming at any one of these guys right now. You're looking at 1-year deals, you know, maybe max of $10 million.
How would you feel about somebody like AJ Green? Some big, long, rangy target.
Right.
For coming in for cheap.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking. Like somebody like him, T.Y. Hilton. I mean, this guy that could take top off the defense, you know.
Hilton, he declined in a hurry because I remember him being a big deal very recently.
Well, the injuries kind of piled up on him. That was the thing with him. Yeah. But
I was going to say, you ask, how do I feel about any wide receiver? Look, after what I saw this last season, if they have a pulse, sign them. That's how I feel about them. Sign them up.
Yeah. Cole Beasley has a pulse.
Cole Beasley is a good option, yeah.
Well, they did just lift the vax mandate in New Orleans, so yeah. They'll let him in the stadium now. That's so that's true. Cool. They wouldn't have let him in a couple months ago.
Nice.
But hey, you got young guys like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, a nice speedster. Only 27 years old, you know.
You see, that's the kind of thing that I think might be intriguing as another deep threat because of what Jameis Winston, now that we know he's the guy, because of what his skill set is, he's not really the West Coast offense dink and dunk guy. He's more of the play action, hit you over the top guy. So I could definitely see putting more chips in the deep game, in the home run ball kind of category.
So how likely do you think it is to get a guy like Traquan Smith back?
Man, you know what? I was saying this last year, that Traquan Smith fit Jameis Winston's style a lot better.
And they practiced a bunch last season.
He wasn't really there the first few weeks either. You know, he kind of packed it up shop. He's the greatest wide receiver in history when no one knows he's there. Is that what the happy hour guys say about it?
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Man, he caught that pass from Breeze. What was the record setting one? I think it was the yardage.
He had a couple different records. Yeah. Him, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's, he's okay. I think if he's like your third or fourth string guy, he's fine. But yeah, I mean, you know, he had the chance to shine last year and I, you know, didn't really see it. So, I mean, if they bring him back, it's fine. You know, if it's a team friendly deal, but you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. If he goes somewhere else.
I think you're exactly right. I think if he's the number three or lower, I think he can be really useful. But I think one is obviously Michael Thomas and two, you need somebody who can stretch the field. I think anywhere other than three or lower, then he's a liability. But I think if he's your third guy and, you know, you've got Callaway in the slot or you got, you know, Harris/Hardy/ whatever the heck his name is now, you got him, you know, moving around out there. I think there's a way to use him. But yeah, he can't be your primary receiver.
Yep.
Well, what about tight end? I mean, I'm looking at guys like Eric Ebron. You know,
did OJ Howard sign yet?
OJ Howard is gone.
Damn.
Yeah, he's gone
early.
Oh, I wanted OJ Howard. I wanted him to get out of the draft.
Okay,
I got a hot take. Bring Jimmy Graham back. Bring him home.
Jimmy Graham's on the list here. You know,
I still have the tattered jersey in my closet, and I was 50 pounds lighter back then. But I'll squeeze it on. I'll get that sausage casing of a jersey on for that celebration.
Yeah, he's like what 35 now.
So who cares? Get in the building.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, he wanted to retire with Breeze, okay? And we didn't give him that, or no, he didn't get that opportunity. Yeah. I don't want to say we didn't give it to him. He didn't get that opportunity, you know, one way or the other. But he could at least go out as a Saint.
Yeah.
I'd like that a lot. Even if he wasn't all that productive and he was like, you know, a situational guy, that would make me feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, the past few years, that's what he's been doing, right? Mainly red zone stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, and red zone is one of the things that I don't know that we struggled with it, but it's a part of the field that I always felt the most nervous the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, honestly, I thought Troutman was really coming on last year when he got injured. By the time he got injured, you know, unfortunately, I thought he was finally starting to come into his own. So if you pair him with someone like Jimmy Graham, you know, I think that'd be a good combo.
He got injured.
No, there's a lot of fans are going to be real upset with you right now for talking about Troutman. Know.
Like I said, I'm coming in hot. I'm coming in aggressive. Like,
I was defending Troutman a lot. He made a lot of big, big mistakes. But he's a young guy. Yeah. He has a lot of upside. And he did a lot of good things that just didn't pop out on film. So I'm with you that he's definitely not getting written off in my book at all.
Yeah.
But he does need some help.
Definitely. Yeah.
Could that help come from Juwan Johnson developing into more of a pass-catching threat? If you remember week one last year, two touchdown catches in week one, ended the season with I think only four.
Yeah.
But he has that potential to really be a mismatch. He's a converted wide receiver. He can go up and get the ball. There's definitely something there if he can. The problem is he doesn't know how to block, so you can't keep him on the field for all downs.
Yeah, because he's pretty small for a tight end.
I don't know if I'd say small, but he's not thick. He's not tight end thick yet.
You know, he's one of those guys. I feel like there was a lot of guys on the team last year that just had all the potential in the world. And that's all we were watching was just raw potential. And, you know, I like the switch to tight end for him. And I think with Jameis, I thought he was looking okay at first. But then, you know, I don't remember if he got hurt or anything. But I just kind of feel like he just kind of fell off the radar down the stretch there.
Yeah, I got to say, if you're worried about just potential, then Jameis Winston's probably not the best quarterback for your nerves. he's signed because of potential.
Well, I kept hoping that Cameron Brate will end up getting released from Tampa Bay because he's always showed some potential, and I would have loved to have him in New Orleans. But I saw he like agreed to a reduced salary or something like that to stay with the team.
So. I got a question for you guys. As Saints fans, do we overvalue tight end because Drew Brees was so adept at finding tight ends in the seam and kind of the intermediate game? Do we as fans think that it's a really important aspect when maybe with who we have now, it's not that big a deal?
Well, in my opinion, I think that, we do for sure because, you know, we got spoiled with those years of Brees and Graham. And then, you know, we've seen the like Brady Gronk connection out there and you know, even Kittle out there, like, you know, this age of like receiving tight ends, I think has really spoiled us. But like when I was growing up, you know, tight end, I always kind of viewed that as like an extra O-line spot. It's like, hey, this guy's an O-lineman that can also go out and catch passes sometimes. But, you know, Jeremy Shockey, I thought was like, he was like the prototypical, like he did it all. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his stats, they weren't like the kind of numbers that like Kittle or Graham or Gronk in their prime put up, but he was a really good tight end that also was a receiving threat. So yeah, I think we've just gotten accustomed to tight ends must also be dominant elite wide receivers.
Yeah. I think that really comes from that connection, you know, all those years with Jimmy Graham. And we also see, you know, how much the middle of the field is being used. Like, I mean, Brady loves the middle of the field, dude. He loves that crap. Godwin and Gronk across the middle, man, it's just been deadly for him. I wonder if that's really the easiest throws for a quarterback to see with the pressure and all of that kind of stuff, you know, in the backfield. I don't know. Of course, I never played, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. I think that people view that as like a safety blanket, right? Because those guys are generally going to be pretty close to the line and, you know, they may be blocking until they pull out to go catch the ball.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. And from what I've, you know, read about the draft, I don't think that tight end is like a strong point in the upcoming draft. So.
Now, when you say strong point, do you mean not first round talent? Because our first round pick is being spent on offensive line. Thank you very much.
Sign me up.
So I think his name's Trevor Penning, the offensive tackle that's been mauling people at all the combine and Senior Bowl stuff.
Yeah, what school that guy.
I trade a couple of firsts to move up and get him. He's a monster. People say, oh, you fall in love with a quarterback before the draft. I have fallen in love with an ugly offensive tackle and I want him bad. Bad.
Man, look, it's always so bad for me when we draft offensive linemen in the first.
Yes, because you apparently don't care about winning games.
I want the sexy pick, Greg. Okay.
And I like, you know what's sexy? W's. I'm gonna eat some W's with Jameis Winston.
No. What's sexy is that Reggie Bush jersey that was selling like hotcakes. Okay, that's sexy. All right, I need that player like that.
You know what? Yeah, but you know what makes that sexy is them thick boys up front holding it down so that the Reggie Bushes of the world can can get those dubs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Finally, someone on this show with a little bit of sense.
Listen, the Saints need to sell jerseys. All right.
The Saints don't need to. You know what sells jerseys? People buy the jerseys of teams that win games. You win the Super Bowl, they're going to sell a whole lot of jerseys.
It's nothing like getting that wide receiver you've been coveting the whole all season and the Saints get him. Like, Super Bowl.
This is the guy who was not happy about drafting Ryan Ramczyk, but now you're all of a sudden pretty happy that you have Ryan Ramczyk. Get out of here with that.
Everybody wants
to have a great O-line, but nobody wants to draft one.
Message true.
Just draft any of them corn-fed dudes that come out of University of Wisconsin. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, one of the big northern boys there, yeah.
When are we going to realize that corn is a performance-enhancing drug and everyone just starts eating more corn? Because every time you say corn-fed, you have these big old, strong big boys.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's going to lose its NCAA eligibility as a result.
Because of corn.
I feel like Nebraska's going to get busted if we're cracking down on performance-enhancing corn.
They're really screwed.
Yeah.
I'm making performance-enhancing corn my new catchphrase on this show.
But wait, I mean, you might have something there. I mean, don't they like grow ethanol from corn, like make blue corn or something like that?
It's biodegradable gasoline right there.
Maybe there is some kind of special corn out there, man. You know?
What about IPAs? I mean, hops, barley, right? There you go.
Same family. Mm. All right, here's what we're going to do, guys. All of us are going to drink about 12 IPAs. We're going to get back on the show, and we're going to see how much better we are at podcasting.
It's science.
I like it. The beer run challenge.
The beer run challenge. What is it? You drink your minimum two before you get on the show, and then you drink one per down. That's easy enough for everyone following along at home.
Okay.
You know, just bust out your key or whatever you got, punch a hole in the bottom of your can, shotgun along with us, and you're going to have a good time.
Boom.
Just don't do it if you're listening to the show while you're driving.
Yes, thank you. This is a 21 and over while you're home, preferably with a beer and a cigar kind of show.
Yeah.
That's right. Very classy.
All right. Let's get into March Madness. I want to know, you know, what you guys typically do during March Madness. Do you fill out brackets? You know, do you call in sick for work during this time? You know, like, what? Yeah.
I could never. So I've got this fun tradition where my friend Matt makes me join his brackets every year, even though I aggressively don't care. And then I make some picks based on what I think sounds right, and then I'm terrible. For example, I am currently 10th of 13 in our little pool, but I have better news because according to the national bracket I put in, this is saying, let's see. Okay, so my ranking in the national thing, I'm probably in the money right here. It's probably high enough to get a little bit of a cash payout. I am currently 1,352,608th place. So, you know, kind of a big
impressive.
Deal.
I mean, when you think about all the people there are in the world, that's pretty impressive.
You know what? There are billions of people in the world, and I'm in the top 2 million. That is a percentage point, my friends.
Well, for me, March Madness is the time of year where I get to know what it feels like when I go into work and I'm talking football to everyone on Monday morning. And I don't always realize that there's some people that don't actually watch football or care. Yeah. So March Madness, I'm like, yeah, man, basketball. Awesome. Now I love NBA. I just college basketball. I don't know. Like,
right.
This is the, you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, for me, I kind of get into the whole first weekend type of deal because, you know, it's so many games on it. You know, I love any excuse to use my multiple TVs in my living room to watch different games. So I take advantage of that for sure. And, you know, now since I'm working at home, it's a little bit easier. I don't have to just watch on the app. So usually there's an app where you can watch. And if your boss is coming in the office, you hit the little button and it looks like a spreadsheet. You know,
that's
boss
brilliant.
Boss will think you're working or whatever, but you be watching the games or whatever. So I do remember doing that at work so often. But like, I mean, do you guys maybe watch the championship game with greater interest, like a normal sort of championship game? Because I personally, I do. Even if it's not my teams, because it's usually the last big game and everything like that before there's like a big break in sports, I think. So
that's because then we get the NBA playoffs.
Well, true. You get the NBA playoffs. I don't deal with MLB baseball. I can do college baseball.
The worst kind of baseball.
Look, I've got a team, LSU. I got a team.
The only team in Louisiana, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of that, by the way, Loyola, New Orleans is in what's that other one called? The NAIA?
NAIA, yeah, that's right.
They are in the semifinals, so.
Yeah. Well, no, they're in the championship game today.
Oh, okay. See, I'm behind. Yeah. I didn't get my breaking news podcast about that, so.
And you won't. I'm hyper competitive, so if it's on TV and I'm watching it with somebody who's a fan of the teams, like a good buddy of mine, the one who makes me join these stupid brackets, Matt, he's a big Kansas fan. So if Kansas is in a big game, I'll watch and kind of, you know, support along that because I just want to care about something anything.
Yeah.
But I can't get up for championship games of sports I don't care about 90% of the year.
Well, what's Lil Dice? What's your stone cold? Just like lock them in. What's your pick, man? Who's going all the way?
Yeah. So in my bracket, I had Auburn going all the way and they got knocked out. So I was really pumped about LSU and then they fired the coach and I'm like, well, I don't have any hope. So
we went not into a good the time game. To do it either.
Yeah, yeah. No. We went into the tournament without a coach. Like, you knew it was going to happen, man. So,
well, I had it all figured out because I picked Kentucky.
Brilliant.
And we saw how well that went for everyone.
Well, you know, if I want to go the conventional route, I'm just going to say Gonzaga, you know, the Bulldogs, the Zags are going to win it. But you know what? I'm going to be bold. I'm going to say St. Peter's. They're going all the way.
You're going to break Drew Brees' heart. They got to go through Purdue next.
That's right. I can't. Yeah. I can't do that to Drew, but I got to be bold here. Yeah.
He's going to learn who you are just so that he doesn't have to forgive you.
How many brackets did that one break when they took out Kentucky? God.
Ugh, all of them?
Yeah.
I saw some stats. So y'all remember there a couple years ago, there was some competition where if you made a perfect bracket, they'd give you $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion payout.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible. No one won it because this is all freaking insane. How does no one accidentally get them all right? It just seems mind boggling. There's not just an accidental stumble through and pick them all right.
I have a general rule against doing math in public, but I, the odds don't sound good. I'll just put it that way.
But I mean, I'm in the top 2 million. So if anyone can do it, it's me.
That's true.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
All right. Let's get into this story that we posted about Urban Meyer. So
let's hear it.
Urban Meyer, like he clearly, you know, was a different kind of cat, man. All right.
That's a way to say it. Yeah. That's true.
This guy would have weekly Tebow Tuesdays where he would wear
Tuesdays.
Tebow's jersey, the 85 number, right? While coaching.
Seems like favoritism, right?
I mean, Tebow's already been cut at this point, but, you know,
didn't
I don't
he
know.
Cut him too?
Yeah.
Like, how do you have a Tebow Tuesday and cut him?
Obviously, we never forget him.
He was like a mascot or something for his guy. I don't know, man. I don't know. Okay. But he also like granted Tebow access to the facility, like after he got cut, you know, just so he can work out and do his Tebow stuff. And, you know, he
stuff. I thought Tebow stuff was playing for the Mets. So he was pretty close to doing that.
Man.
I mean, okay. So he was wearing Tebow's jersey. I mean, what, a little weird, but what that surely that's it though, right? That's the only weird things going on with Urban Meyer, right?
No, and then he's he's also on a practice field, like going to some of the injured players, and he's yelling, "Get some" to them, you know,
get some jersey on. Is the radio friendly version, get some small kitten word.
Yeah.
Okay.
and then, hey, like the last straw, you know, had to be when he was asked these players to sign these competitive chastity pledges where they swore to abstain from all sexual activity between December and May to avoid any possible missed games.
December and May?
That's right.
So that if they were going to have a kid, the kid wouldn't be born during the season.
Yes. Yes.
It's insane.
Makes sense to me.
He's ahead of his time. That's going to be part of everyone's contract in 5 years.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, look, as long as the results spoke for themselves, right? I mean, I don't remember their record off the top of my head, but they must have been pretty good, right? The Jags?
Yeah, he got fired.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So it
my favorite thing that came out about him was their team was getting ready for a game against the Rams. Y'all know who the Rams are, you know, Super Bowl champions, team with the best player in the world. And they're getting ready for the game. And he goes to one of his coaches and he goes, "Hey, who's that 99? Is he going to be a problem?" Best player in the NFL is probably going to be a problem for you. You should know who he is. You get paid millions of dollars to coach in the same league that he's in.
Absolutely.
Morgan Freeman narrator voice. It turns out he was a problem.
Yeah, man. So yeah, I think Dave has gotten a bright idea about this chastity kind of agreement. And he's going to want you to sign this, Craig. He's also going to want you to sign this B-Train, and me too.
So I recorded this show the week after my son was born. So don't talk to me about signing the contract to keep me on the show.
Oh, all right.
Hey, look, I got one that's 9 months pregnant now. So, I mean, I'm, you know, I can sign up for now.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever it takes for the team, for the BS and Beer team, I'll do for the Beer Run team, whatever it takes.
For the team. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So it brings us to this other video here, man, where it's Coach O. And he's looking at these 20-year-olds, like, in this bar, man. And, like, Coach O is ready to knock somebody's head off. I'm looking at him. He's really, really mean, bro. I'm telling you.
So Coach O, as you know, has not put a shirt on since he got fired. He has been living his best life. He is rich as a joke. He's already fulfilled his life goal, which he said he dreamed of being an LSU head coach. He won a national championship with the best college team that has ever existed. He's done. He's peaked. So he's lost his shirt and he's been drunk as a skunk for the last few months. I don't blame him.
But why would you wear a shirt anymore? I wouldn't wear a shirt anymore either.
He's in this bar and there's a couple of kids that are like kids, college guys, are heckling him a little bit. And he came over, like he was gonna start throwing hands at these college kids. Yo, it was beautiful.
Yo, the man is in outstanding shape for real. He's like 65, something like that.
Those Cajuns, they got good genes. Thank you.
That is factually correct.
I just want to point out that is the culture that they were looking for when they wanted to make sure they got the right coach for the team.
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk that stuff on Twitter, but in public, Coach O will beat the heck out of you, dude.
He's living his truth, man. He's living his truth, and I respect that.
Like, I know we're joking about this funny little video and everything, but it was a success hiring him, right? I mean, you can't say just because he got fired that it wasn't a good hire, because he again assembled the coaching staff and the players and the recruiting to have the best team in college football history. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care that he got fired after that. He's absolutely successful. Find me another coach that will win me national championship, and then I'll fire him right after that, and we'll just keep
take
doing
that
it.
In a heartbeat. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Les Miles, Nick Saban, our boy Coach O. Just get him in here, let him win a championship, and then fire them, and then get another one. And we just keep doing that off and on. We're good.
Yeah. Classic trick right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It keeps you relevant for sure. And there aren't many other teams that schools that can say that they won championships like they'll pass three head coaches. So,
no, I mean, and to be honest, look, they held on to Les Miles a little too long, in my opinion. So when it was time to transition to Coach O, that was it. It was perfect timing, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, man, that's all we got here on the Beer Run. So, yeah, we'll be back with you next week for sure. And yo, let us know what you think. Tweet us. Give us some ideas about things you might want to hear us talk about. Give us your ideas about oatmeal raisin cookies and tell Craig why he's wrong.
Don't you dare put oatmeal raisin on these poor people. Find us on Twitter. Give us a like. Give us a review. Preferably something nice that compliments us and our buttery smooth voices. For me, for my co-host, for the BS and Beer family, thank everybody for joining us. Have a beer. It's on me.
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bsandbeer@icloud.com. West Bank Bucking, CTC Real. Take it to the St. Thomas, then take it to the Ville. 8-1 bout 11, 12, 13. Eastside Soldier, Press Park 17. Representing the NO, cause that's where we be. You know who it is, it's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th. Is New Orleans really about it? All the time. The city of New Orleans, number one, no doubt. Doing things the right way, cause we on the right